Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you again tonight. We're turning to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 1. As part of our reading this last week for our visitors, we have a daily Bible reading. We've been into Deuteronomy, the first five chapters this week. So tonight's lesson is the intention is kind of review some things we've read. Now, I had started first in this thinking that my focus was going to be the latter part of chapter 4 and in chapter 5, and it still is. But the more I looked at this, the more I thought, really, to understand the impact of what is said in the last part of chapter 4 and what's said in chapter 5, we need to remember why he's saying some things. And so that takes us back to the first chapter. And just kind of as a refresher to bring us back to where this story is taking place, the children of Israel are now in the plains of Moab. It's the 40th year, the first day of the 11th month. And so we're reminded of the fact that the wilderness journey is coming to an end. It's been going on for these some 40 years. Now, Moses has been told to go to the top of Mount Nebo. And he'll view the land of the promised land from there. He's not going to be entering in. So it's only 1 month before his death at this point. And Moses has a lot to say. And when we go through this book of Deuteronomy, understand that it is Moses who is trying in this last month to impart to the children of Israel, the people that he knows and the people that he loves, instructions, reminding them of God's word, God's revelation to them, revelation in that they were there. It's a review of the events that have taken place. And so that they don't forget what has happened and what has gone on, he kind of reviews the last 40 years plus some to bring this to their remembrance. So the old generation who had rebelled at Kadesh Barnea, well, they've died. Even as God said, that these were not going to enter into the promised land. So there would still be some in this group who were perhaps as old as 19, you know, when the event took place, when they were there at the promised land and the spies were sent in, but only two came back saying, yes, we can do this, Joshua and Caleb. And then when God says they're going to be this wilderness wandering and you're going to die in the wilderness, oh, over 20 years old. So there are some now who were maybe 19 years old at that time or younger, some even who could have remembered coming out of Egypt and who could remember the slavery and the plagues and the events that took place in the wilderness. And so this book records Moses' final plea to the children of Israel. And so he speaks to his people and he reviewed the events of history for the purpose of encouraging this new generation on to faithfulness. Chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, in the 40th year, in the first day, in the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. Just kind of making the point again that this is not just coming from the mind of Moses, but this is the will of God that's being revealed. It's just Moses who is the conduit, the one who is bringing the message to them. And so Moses told them that all will go well in the land as long as they are faithful. I mean, here was the caveat, always. It's not any new news. You know, all will go well as long as you are faithful. But as the story goes on, we know already what will happen, that in spite of all of the warnings, they will forget God and they will serve idols. And God told Moses the people would not be faithful. At the end of the life of Moses in chapter 31, there at the end of the life of Moses, God told him that they're not going to listen, that they're not going to obey, that they're not going to listen to me, they're going to serve foreign gods. And I've thought many times when reading that, it's like for Moses, one of the last things he hears from God is that his people are going to disobey him. That would not be a good way to go out to me, to be thinking of those things. But that's what was going to happen. And you can't help but think how that
would have saddened Moses. And so Moses goes on then to speak to Israel. And the purpose here was to call to their remembrance. And in fact, that's what is said different times in the text. He's trying to call to their remembrance, remember these things. And he told them about, you know, God told us to leave Mount Horeb or to leave Mount Sinai. And basically, God was saying to them, you know, the promised land, it's already yours. They weren't there yet, but they were on the way to it. And God was saying, it's yours. All you have to do is obey. All you have to do is trust me and obey. The land is yours. And so in the first chapter, he reminds them of that. I believe it's in verse 8. It says, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. And he's saying, God is saying, here it is. He's giving them the land. And remember, though, even though he said that he was giving them the land, they were still lacking the courage to go in and take the land. But we're 40 years later now. Moses is reminding them, here's what happened. He reminded them in some of the following verses, verses 9 through 18, that he appointed leaders to help him judge. Because Israel had grown so big at this point, it was more than what Moses can do. And by God's approval, you know, he appointed other leaders to help judge the land. Verse 13 was talking about choose some wise, respected, understanding men to set over the people is what God told him to do. And Moses is reminding them of that. Then there was the sending out of the spies in chapter 1 that he reminds them to go into the promised land. And only two came back saying, yes, we can do this. God is on our side. And so Moses reminds them in the latter part of chapter 1, you rebelled against God. I mean, here was the thing. When they did not go into the promised land, it's more than them just being afraid. It's more than them not having the courage and the faith that they could overcome the giants in the land. It was a rebellion against God. And that's what Moses is trying to remind them of. And it's almost a little bit like, remember how you rebelled against God? How did that work out for you? Because he's going to review these 40 years of wilderness wandering. It didn't work out well, because it never works out well when we rebel against God. And Moses specifically said to them in the text in verses 31 and 32 that you didn't trust in the Lord. Here was the problem. Your faith in Jehovah God was not what it should have been. And look at where it got you. And so you see, on so many of these points, when we stop and we think about it, there's some things we should learn and take away from that ourselves. There's some things here we can learn too. And then in chapter 2, he talks to them again about, well, we wandered in the wilderness. We wandered in the desert 40 years until the last of the men 20 years old and older had died. But now they're on their way. Now they are moving their way up to the point where they're going to cross the Jordan into the land. And in chapter 2, God was with us, he says. God was with us to take the kings of Sihon and Og. And as they advanced across into the land, it was God who cleared the way so that they could go. So he continues to call to their remembrance. God told them how to divide the land as they were getting close, and some were going to settle on the east side of the river. And God was helping them to know how to divide the land. And then in chapter 3, Moses reminds them all, God has forbidden me to pass over and to go into the land. Remember, even in chapter 3, Moses pleaded with God. I mean, he's been leading these people for 40 years. Moses wanted to go into the promised land. And he pleaded with God, and God refused. Because Moses had not given God the credit. He did not honor God as he should. And Moses, the man that God had one of the closest relationships of any man as in recorded biblical history, I mean, Moses spoke directly to God and God spoke to Moses. It's amazing the relationship. And yet God has not forgotten and uses this even for a learning for us. That when we do not trust God, when we do not give Him the honor He deserves, God sees that. And He remembers that. That's pretty powerful that happened. God told Moses to commission Joshua, to prepare him and encourage him and strengthen Joshua in such a way that he would be prepared and able to lead the people across. It takes us into chapter 4. Hear, O Israel. And I'm getting the impression as we come to this point that now Moses is starting to plead with his people. Hear, O Israel, God's laws and His decrees. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Listen, Israel, to these things. You have seen, you have heard the will and the word of God. You have seen what happens when you obey. You have seen what happens when there is disobedience. He calls to mind the event of when many started worshiping the God at Baal of Peor and how God responded to that. It was disastrous. And to those repentance among the Israelites. And God stopped the disaster that was there. The emphasis, again, here is on God's laws. Listen to what God says. Observe them carefully, he says. And he will continue to emphasize that idea and that point in verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. He wanted so much for them to remember the events that have taken place. He's writing them down. So that they remember, he's writing them down. They were there, but he was still afraid they would forget. And they would. So he's writing them down again so that they might remember and to teach them, to teach them to their children so they will know how Jehovah God had carried them and brought them out of bondage and brought them to the promised land. And of course, all of the events of the 40 years in the wilderness where the power of God was demonstrated time and again. And after making these points about Jehovah God and listening to Him and obeying Him, he goes into kind of some detail here about don't worship idols. You would think on one hand, if they knew Jehovah God, and having seen the hand and the power of Jehovah God from Egypt to this point for the last 40 years, you would think there would be no need of a reminder of who Jehovah God is, and that there is no one else to worship. But there was a need. They needed to be reminded of this. Chapter 4, in verse 23, Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that He made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. Hasn't He proven that already? Events that happened and took place in the wilderness that demonstrated that God demanded their complete and full attention and service. That He wanted their complete love. That He wanted them to look to Him and nothing or no one else. Hasn't that already been proven over and again? And yet still here there is the need of reminding them, our God is a consuming, jealous God. They need to remember. But have you noticed every time we have said, they need to remember, it reminds us that we need to remember these same things. That we still struggle and battle with so many of the same kind of problems and issues and temptations that Israel dealt with so long ago. Moses goes into some description again in this latter part of chapter 4, which is what really kind of caught my attention going through the reading this week, about the greatness of God. Which now when we go back and we think of some of these points we've made as we're coming through, which as well define and describe the greatness and the power of God. It seems when he comes to this point, it's a point of emphasis. In chapter 4, verse 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created man on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to make for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by miraculous signs and wonders, by war, by the mighty hand and outstretched arm, or by a great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? It's a call to remembrance of what they had seen. And what they had seen was amazing. A full demonstration of the power of God greater than any of the gods of this world by far. And he's calling that to mind. Has anything been seen or heard that would match Jehovah God? Well, each time the answer would be no, no, no. And they needed to be reminded of that. Even as we. And the miraculous signs and wonders of God that had been demonstrated in Egypt, the plagues that came were brought by the hand of God and were stopped by the hand of God. And the incredible miracles that took place, the parting of the Red Sea, how do we even envision such a thing in our mind? And the miracles that took place time and again throughout the wilderness wanderings that would demonstrate again the power and the presence of God Almighty. Verse 35. You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides Him, there is no other. From heaven He made you hear His voice to discipline you. On earth He showed you His great fire, and you heard His words from out of that fire. Because He loved your forefathers and chose their descendants after them, He brought you out of Egypt by His presence and His great strength to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you for your inheritance as it is this day. The power of God could not be denied. Other nations could not deny the power of God. Because time and again, God's power overcame with Israel nations greater than they. But it was by His hand they would stand. Verse 39. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep His decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Again, he's telling them the promised land, it's here, it's yours. It's just across the river. I'm giving it to you. It's a powerful message and point. You know, that before they were too scared to go in, though God said before, I'm giving you the land. Here's the clue, I'm giving you the land. But they were afraid of the inhabitants. Again, he's saying, I'm giving you the land. If you follow my decrees and my word, I'm with you. You're not going alone. That's what he's saying. And so he's saying to them here, you know, take this to heart. I mean, it's exactly what it said in verse 39. Acknowledge this and take it to heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no place one can go outside of the presence of Jehovah God. You know, you would believe and you'd want to think that this would deliver to them tremendous reassurance and confidence. And I think this time more so than the first time they were at the point of crossing into the land. They've learned some lessons along the way. Is their faith all that it should be? Well, we'll see that it's not. But they seem to be a far cry closer to what it needs to be now than what they were 40 years ago. You know, the theme of these chapters, do not forget to obey the Lord. And we make application easy to them. But we have to make application to ourselves too. Think about why this was such an overwhelming concern of Moses. Was that he knew the people. He understood these people. He saw their lack of faith and lack of obedience. He knew their propensity to fall down along the way. And so when we read these chapters here, it's Moses pleading with this people. And too, I guess you'd say we get a glimpse of Moses in this too. We get a glimpse of his heart. His confidence, his devotion, his faith in God, we see that. And we see as well his concern for his people, who have proven many times not to trust God. The heart of Moses was fixed on God, and he loved his people so much that he wanted them to hear and obey God. We can benefit from these words. I know this was a different people in a different time and a different law. I get that. But the message that's being relayed here is powerful for us, that we need to take to heart the attitude that Moses was trying so desperately to bring to the children of Israel, that they would be the godly people that they should be. We close with these points. The consistency of God is something that kind of stood out to me. The consistency of God, that throughout the ages, God has asked for man's obedience. Always. From the garden till now, and until He comes again, till the Lord comes again. He is asking for our obedience. Simply, God wants man to seek Him and obey Him. That's what He has always said. The consistency of God stands out. And in Moses, in his final days, made the plea to Israel, listen to God. Obey Him. Because if we look for God, we'll find Him. If we're just willing, if we look for God, we will find Him. in our text in chapter 4, verse 29. See, go to verse 38. No, verse 29. But if from there you see the Lord your God, you will find him. If you look with him, look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. There's a number of times that we can find passages that are similar to that, where there is a prophet or inspired writer that is saying, or the Lord himself, who is saying, if you look for God, he's not far away. When you're struggling in life, when we're walking in circles, when life is just tumbling in and we don't know what to do, God is close by if we'll look for him, if we'll seek him, if we'll reach out for him, he's right there. But what we have to do is submit to him. And he's there. He's close by. Look for him with all your heart. Jeremiah chapter 29. Look with me at a couple of our passages. Jeremiah chapter 29. In verse 13. In the letter to the exiles, those who were exiled in Babylon, the 70 years of captivity is coming to an end. And there's this reminder from the Lord to those exiles, I've not forgotten who you are. He actually says in verse 11, I have a plan for you. You know, bringing them, you know, back to what was the promised land. Verse 13, if you will seek me and find me, or you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When we look for God with all our heart, he's there. We will find him. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It's Jesus speaking this time. Verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If we're wanting and willing to choose, in chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus was talking about that. You can't serve God in mammon, verse 24. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added to you, given to you, verse 33. Chapter 7 comes to this point. Seek and you will find. He's not far away. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul on Mars Hill in Athens, preaching to a bunch of philosophers that worshiped many different gods. He preached to them the one true God. Acts 17, verse 26, speaking of that God, he says, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has predetermined their preappointed time and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He is there. And God is still looking for the same thing today from us as he was wanting out of Israel and Moses and Abraham and Adam and Eve. A willing heart devoted to him. That's what God has always wanted of those who might be called his people. You know, to Israel, Moses said, you have seen the proof. In Deuteronomy 24, back in our text, you know, he said, you have seen the proof. And the proof that he laid out was God's creation, you know, so great and so undeniable. Who can deny the work in the hand of God? They had heard God's voice from the mountain. They had seen the miraculous signs. They had seen the power of God's outstretched hands. You know, they had seen the proof. And with their own eyes, they had seen these things. Chapter 4, verse 35 says, that you might know that the Lord is God. It's like he's saying, what more could you want? What other proof is there? He's delivered all of this to you. You've seen it. You've heard it. What more could you expect? But he says to them in verse 39, acknowledge and take to heart that there is no other. Are we willing to accept that? I mean, we have the witnessed account. We have the testimony that is given throughout Scripture that tells us about the God who is the creator of all things. And time and again, God says through Moses, he keeps going back to this point, keep the decrees. You know, Moses is saying to his people, do what God says. Obey his commandments. Over and over he says that. The purpose of God is unchanging. Deuteronomy chapter 5, last passage. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27. Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, we will listen and obey. Moses is reminding them, remember what you said to me before? They said to Moses, you know, we're afraid to go. You go talk to God. Tell us everything he says. We will obey. Remember that? Moses is reminding them so that they will remember. In verse 28, and the Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. It's like I almost detect in the voice of God, yeah, I heard what they said. I heard what they said, that we will do everything that God says. I heard what they said, and everything that they said was good. But oh, that their hearts were inclined to fear me and keep my commandments. That's what God wants. That's what he wanted of them. That's what he's wanted of men of all time and of us today. Is that we would fear him and keep his command always. That's what God wants. And so Moses has gone back and reviewed their history, brought them up to this point to make some of these powerful points in the latter part of chapter 4 and into chapter 5. He had to go back and say, well, remember when? I mean, some of you were there. Remember what happened when? And we went back, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. We know those stories. So did they. But Moses went back and told them again, remember when? So that when he comes to these points again, obey the commands of God. Submit to his decrees. Submit to him and live for him. And if we will do that, he will always be our God. And it makes chapter 4 and chapter 5 so much more powerful to know the things that he put in their mind and in ours. Will we remember? Are we willing to serve him? Are we willing to submit and trust him? To trust him that what he says is right. What he says is true. That was part of Israel's problem. They didn't trust God. When he said, go into the land, it was a trust problem he identified 40 years later. It was a trust problem. Do we trust God so much that we are willing to listen to what he says and obey? Are you willing? Each of us, we have to be willing to just submit to what he says and do it. And if we do, then we can be his people. If you're subject to the call that Christ has given to become a child of God, please, please don't delay. Would you come as we stand and sing?